over us.
Well, Lord, we just thank you for your fire over us. Thank you, Lord, for Gracie and what she saw, Lord. And I thank you for the many things that we're seeing today and the many ways that we're connecting with you. Thank you, Lord. We just bless you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we want more of you. We want more, we want more, we want more. And Lord, we are not content. We're not content with where we are because we want more, Lord. And we're desiring that today is a day that you're solidifying some things, Lord. Where there have been distractions, you're bringing an end. Where there have been hindrances, you're moving them out. Where there's been confusion, you're releasing that. Where there's been unhealthiness, Lord, you're bringing health and healing. Where there's been discontentment, Lord, you're bringing a sense of peace. Father, where there's been fear, you're bringing faithfulness. So we thank you, Lord God, for the new realm, the new dimension that you're taking each one of us into, and us as a corporate body. We say amen to you, Lord God. We want our eyes open and our ears open. We're open to you, O God. And Lord, when there's a synergy in the room, when people are all on the same page, O God, your attention is on this place. And that's your heart. And that's where we're going, Lord. We're contending for more in this house. Oh, thank you, Lord. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be in greater, greater magnitude and capacity and measure for each one of us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for that picture that Gracie had. Thank you that she could feel arms around her, that she could feel fire around her. Thank you, Lord. This is just the beginning. And we thank you, Lord, for the words that have been spoken over each one of us and over this house. And Father, we call them in. We call them in wholeheartedly in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, wow. How many of us are anticipating more? I see those hands, some hands shooting up. If we're not anticipating more, we're in trouble. I speak that. So we want to be out of trouble. We want to be anticipating more because that's where the Lord has us. He really does. Many times things are going along in our life and we're measuring where we are spiritually by what's happening, by what we see. And the Lord is way beyond that. And he's saying, walk by faith and not by sight. So we're going to talk a little bit about faith today. We had a man of great faith come be with us, Pastor Jose, last Sunday and the previous Tuesday. And wow, if you weren't here, you really need to listen to his teachings and to the impartation. They're fiery, they're true, and they're definitely messages sent from heaven to us. So I encourage you to do that. And even if you were here, I've listened to them since, and you will be beyond blessed because there's new information, if you will. You will go to another place, I guarantee you. And if not, call me. I invite you to do that. I'm so serious because that is how amazing it is. The Lord spoke to this man of God before he came here while he was in Africa, and he said, give them a word, and he gave us many. And so the words are for each one of us individually as well as corporate words. And we would be foolish to not enjoy them and go, wow, yes, 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 now, now, now. So that's what we want to do. So I really exhort you to do that. Please, please don't put it off a week or two. Make it a high priority. The Lord had me up all night one night recently as it was such a high priority to him. And I was scurrying and writing all kinds of things down and having an encounter, a great encounter with him. So it was 5 a.m. going, wow. And the day went on. There was no break in the day. So this is God. You know, God is showing up. So I'm really excited about that and really encourage you to take those words. I believe they're from the Lord. I believe they're words of life. And I pray that you do that and expect that you'll be changed in the midst if you agree with them. If you don't, it'll be a nice time, maybe with coffee and sitting up and looking out the window. But as you agree with the words of life and receive from the Lord what he has, just say, I say yes and I receive. There will be a change. How many want an upgrade in the spirit? Then make this a priority. Okay? What are you doing tonight? Take the time and do it. And write down what he's saying. So many times I'll speak to someone and I have a word of the Lord. I'll give the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is heard with natural ears, but no spiritual ears, which means the word of the Lord is not acted upon. And when that happens, that means God spoke, used a little donkey here, but there was no receiving of it. When we receive, then it catapults us into motion. And we're going to see something we have a little video clip here about motion in a little bit, which I think will really encourage you. But before we dismiss the children, I want to mention that we have Kingdom Chronicles. Kenzie Schock wrote this. She's an amazing, gifted little writer, budding little writer. So we've started that, and that'll be posted somewhere, I think at our website. But you want to make sure that you grab this. And it's about Esther and other things, and it's out there on the table, so make sure you take one. And we love seeing our little ones rising up, not just FTC for older ones, as all of us are, but the little ones. This is part of FTC, because these little ones are on the front lines, don't you know? So when they go to school, they're on the front lines. Yeah, when they're playing with their friends, they're on the front lines, or whatever it is. And the Lord says, do not be afraid. I equip you to do great and mighty things. And my hand is on you, O little ones. He gave me a promise many years ago for my own children, and I'm seeing them come to pass. And we must be faithful. The Lord is on alert right now in our hearts, saying, I want you to declare a war on fear. And what you call just my thoughts about something may have fear tagged with it. What you call, it makes sense to me, and it's reasonable as I build my case, is maybe not. And so the Lord has a very specific purpose and plan for each one of us, and there's no fear tied with any of it. And we're going to look at some really cool passages in Scripture in 1 Kings 17 and 18. You can turn your Bibles there if you will. Dealing with Elijah and how he dealt with the people in his life who had aspects of fear, and even Elijah did at certain points. And then we're going to close with a clip. But I just really want to exhort you that today, if you say to the Lord, I want to become a fearless person. This is for the children. How many children are in here? That should be all of us. Come on. We're children of the King. I want to become a fearless person. How many of you think you are fearless right now? Oh, some honest people. Okay, we're moving there, aren't we? How many think we are less fearful than before? Well, that's good. All right, so we're moving. We're processing. I like that. But the Lord says, I want to take you on a journey, and this journey is into full explosive faith. Faith understood on the inside, realized by the people around us. So when they look at you, they can say, that is a woman of faith. That is a man of faith. Great faith. And you can walk around saying, I am a man or a woman or a child of the King of great faith. When Heidi Baker came and prayed over me and Pastor Bill, when we had the malaria up at University Hospital, Christy was telling me I was incapacitated there. But she walked out of my room and she said, I have great faith. And Christy said, oh, Mary Pat does too. That's what she says. The Lord is saying, I want each one of you to see yourself that way, that you're a faith work in process. And so I really believe that as you come into agreement with your heart, with whatever it takes of emptying ourselves out to be able to allow the Lord to possess us, I really believe in this season we're going to have a faith jump. Okay, some of us have had some career changes, some school changes. We've had shifts in various things, romantic changes, good or bad or whatever. But we've had changes in our life, in our situation, new business ventures coming. And the Lord is saying, I don't want fear tagged with any of these changes. Some of the changes may have been actually motivated or tagged with fear already. And the Lord says, you know what? That is not going to work for you, because there's nothing in my kingdom that has fear attached. Zero, nada, can't make it work. So this is our day to declare that I want to change. And Lord, I'm allowing myself to fully participate in the process because I want to be a faithful man or woman of God, meaning that I understand faith. So the little things that maybe I think I have faith for, and then I shift over here and I'm not so sure. Those things are going and changing. And that's my God. And that's your God. Amen? Amen. We want to see it in families. And this place is going to be blown out of the park. So, yay, God. And I pray that if you do have to work, not have to, have the privilege of working with our kiddies today, that you will listen to today's message as well as part of the messages that we have been receiving of late. So it's going to be a good one. It's about faith and fear, and it's about faith. And taking us to the new dimension of fire. So I want to release the kingdom kids to, and grab a Kingdom Chronicles on your way out. Be blessed. Amen. And if you'll turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Kings. Take some notes today. You will be blessed. And we're going to fly because I believe that we can accomplish a lot in a short amount of time. Who wants to work with me on that? Okay, so you need to have your Bible. You need to have your pen. We're going to take some notes here. Amen. Okay. I want to touch on one verse in 1 Kings, actually in chapter 16, verse 33. And it's kind of interesting because it sets the stage for where we want to go. And this is about King Ahab, who was a king of Israel. And it says in verse 33 that Ahab had also made the Asherah. It was a pole dealing with the occultic realm. And it was a pole that would stick up and people would adore it. And it would have to do with what was going on in the heavenlies and a lot of occultic horoscope type of stuff and adoration and idol worship, and not good. So this says, Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel than all the kings of Israel who were before him. All the kings of Israel who were before him. So he did more to provoke the Lord. So I just wanted to set the stage there. So, ta-da, Ahab's on the scene. And you've heard of Ahab and Jezebel, and we'll get into that possibly if we have time. But Ahab was a real punk, you know. He was really, you know, provoking God. Oh boy, here he goes again, drawing all the people into idol worship, into Baal worship, into Asherah pole worship. Not good. So Elijah comes on the scene, super duper prophet, and God says, okay, here's my man. I've raised you up from an early age, and now you're gonna set the slate clean. You're gonna change the slate. And I'm going to have you be filled with my power to clean it up. So verse 1 says, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, okay, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall neither be dew nor rain these years except by my word. So in other words, he prophesies a drought. And there's going to be a drought for 3 years. And he's standing in front of this vicious dude who's cleaning everybody's clock, who's not somebody that you want to just sit and have coffee with unless you're on his side easily. So he's telling him, there's going to be a drought. What do you think of that? And it's not going to change. How? Unless I say so. Now that's the part sometimes we don't hear. We say, oh yeah, he prophesied a drought. Yeah, God. Yeah, God does that thing in the Old Testament. He says, it's not changing till I do something about it. I mean, he knew who he was. And he was connected with God. And he lived under the old covenant. Hello. And we're under the new covenant with a great and mighty God who lives on the inside of us 24/7, 365. But yet, he heard the word of the Lord. He was sure of the word of the Lord. He delivered the word of the Lord. And because it was the word of the Lord, delivered in power, it came to pass. Whoa. Big deal. Okay, skip with me down here now, because I'm going to speak over you, Elijah's in the making here. All right, the word of the Lord came to him saying, go. Now notice the word go, verse 3. Go away from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. And it shall be that you will drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there. So he went and he did according to the word of the Lord. So he lived by the brook, and that's what happened. So the ravens came in the morning and at night, and they delivered his little bread and stuff, and they took care of him. How about that? Ravens were commanded by God, figure that. And so he ate by the ravens. He was taken care of. The famine that was now starting to come into full swing did not touch him. He was taken care of because the Lord said, go. It wasn't necessarily that he was saying, go to another place. He was saying, go forth. Hello. Go forth in my power. And if I start moving you to the left, go to the left. If I start moving you to the right, go to the right. If I tell you from Mozambique to go deliver a word to frontline, get on that plane and go. That's what happened. Because the word of the Lord was spoken to Pastor Jose before he left about Frontline. And God said, now is the time. Go and tell them. And so when he came, he said, and with a great big smile, he said, this is from the Lord. He told me to give it to you. Now is the time. He said, receive it. If we don't receive, then we are not changed. We will not go. In other words, we will not connect. We will not connect. We will not hear the voice of the Lord. You guys catching this? This is a big deal. Oh, I think so. And so, go away from here and do what I tell you to do. And you will drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to provide. And that's what happened. So they brought him this bread, and all this stuff happened, which is great. In verse 7, it says, it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. So the Lord said, all right, it's time to move. Now, I mean, could God have given more water in the brook or done something? Of course, he's God. But he's also working with humans. He's working with us. And he's saying, listen to me. I've got something that's even better. I'm going to step you up. Because where I'm taking you, Elijah, my son, is going to take great faith, greater faith than what has already been expressed through you. Now, you've already been receiving by the ravens. That's really cool. And then people thousands of years in the future will be able to say, wow, let's do what Elijah did. Yay, you did it. You passed that test. But more than that, it was our loving papa saying, I love you. I'll take care of you. It's not a problem. When I say I'll provide, I really will. I hope they get that when they're under the new covenant that I'll do that. I'll provide for their kids. I don't know. These are my children. I don't know if you know about this God. You know, I mean, come on. Let's get these barriers, boundaries to make sure they're safe. And God is saying, you know, that sounds really noble, but there may just be part of me that you're not tracking with on that one. And we need to be able to hear the Lord. He's taking us from glory to glory to be able to hear the Lord, get the word of the Lord, know what he's saying so that we don't have to back up and say, that didn't work, or maybe there was a better way. He's wanting us to hear his voice. He's wanting us to listen. He's saying, you need to know Holy Spirit. You need to know him. You need to sleep with him. You need to date him, he said, Pastor Jose said. You need to know him, sleep with him, trust him, believe him, talk to him, work with him 24/7, 365. You know, Elijah didn't even have that. Holy Spirit came upon him, and he was still able to do these things. So the Lord's saying, God lives in you. So when you get a word, and it's a word that speaks about how God sees you and what God says about us individually and corporately, we are absolutely fools if we don't take it so seriously, where we go to the Lord and say, I don't understand, I don't know what this means, but I'm bowing my face down to the ground. And whatever it takes, I'm going there because I don't feel it, but I tell you what, that was from you. And if I'm not sure, Lord, I'm hearing from others that it was. I'm going to trust the Spirit of God in others, because I'm not sure if I can trust myself right now, even though you really can. God is saying, let's get out of this fear zone. Let's really move. Let's really, really track. Let's move. Let's move now. So Elijah moves. God says, go, so he goes. And I think really sometimes we think, well, this is about because the water dried up. What's God going to do? Heavens, no. He has something better for Elijah. And better for us to be able to understand. So he takes off and he goes. And he says, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. And I have commanded a widow to provide for you. So he went from raven to widow. Nice. Okay, now he's dealing with a person who talks back. Ravens don't. Ravens do what they're supposed to. And we just have to receive. Right? Not too hard. But now you've got somebody who says, well, I don't know about this. And say, like, well, wait. God told me. So he's taking a step up in faith. So he says, go and talk to the widow, and he did. And he says, please give me a little water in a jar that I may drink. We're in the midst of this famine, dudes, okay? And dudettes, what do you mean? Get some water and put it in a jar, please? So what is her response? This woman who has a wonderful call in her life, she says, well, as she was going to get it, which of course she did because she got the word of the Lord, he called to her and said, please, hey, bring me a piece of bread in your hand. And she says, Well, as the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in the bowl and a little oil in the jar. And behold, I am gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son that we may eat it and die. Thank you. She has just stepped into mathematics. She has just taken her reason and not received the word from the prophet. She didn't stop and go, what does he mean? What could that mean for me? Why, maybe I do have bread. Maybe it will come. There was no expectation. There was a response completely in the natural. Yeah. You know, Elijah's getting, he's been through a lot and he's kind of, all right, well, fine. Okay, I get, if you want to focus on what you don't have and tell me about it, instead of expecting and being excited about what God's going to do in your midst, that's fine. I'll work with you on that. So Elijah says, do not fear, verse 13. There were many, many times that Pastor Jose spoke in the last week or so, and he's coming back tomorrow, by the way, be here on Tuesday. And he said, do not fear. He said, do not be afraid. Count the number of times. Have fun. He repeats a lot. Receive, 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 receive. Do not fear, do not fear, do not fear. Now is the time, now is the time, now is the time. You can count a lot of different things. When I was doing this in the middle of the night, I started doing that, going, okay, 4, 5, 6, and I put 4X on my notes. Count those times. Do not be afraid. So Elijah came with a message, and the message was, don't be afraid, little one. It's okay. You know, I'm telling you what he's telling me, but I know what he's going to do. Big difference. I know what he's going to do. Wow. So then Elijah says, do not fear. Go and do as you've said. Make me a little bread. And then bring it to me first, and then you can get some for your son. So on top of that, he says, you know, I'm going to help you with the laws of sowing and reaping. You don't really understand that. I am a prophet, and I want you to be blessed. So here's what we do. He's not selfish, saying, give me my bread. I've been hungry. Then you can have some for yourself. He's helping the woman around him. He is determined that he is going to change the atmosphere because he believes. So when you walk into a place and you believe and you don't have fear, guess what? You get to pull down that pregnant atmosphere of faith and bring it into the now and bring it and make it a reality. But if you've got fear in your heart, you will be the very one who will take advantage of, if you will, fear in other people, and you'll connect like this. Okay? Like, oh, fear begets fear. It's like, wow, I'm hanging with this person. I don't know why. It just feels really good. But usually there's a tag. Faith connects with faith easily. Okay, so in this case, there was some fear there, and fear was rising. So he's going to help her. Yeah, I just really want to help you because I know he probably knew even more that was coming. We don't know in the book, but, you know, that's possible. He's a prophet, but maybe not. Now, if he lived in the New Testament, probably so. Because he wasn't waiting for the Spirit of God to just come once. We wouldn't be. And so he helps her. He says, you know, give me this food first. And so as you bless me and you bless your first fruits, you're not even thinking of what you own or what you could have or your own needs. You're blessing others before yourself. Let me say it again. You're blessing others before yourself. You're thinking of others before your schedule. You're thinking of others before what you're going to spend your money on. You're thinking of others before what you're going to determine will happen in your family. Wow, that's like maybe touching on some sensitive areas. But see, I like to bring these things down to practical places. But what I do with my family should be, I mean, I'm trying. And the Lord says, you know, there's a bigger world out there than even your little family in four walls. And if you seek the face of the Lord, he will show you these things. Holy Spirit will show you. Even as you go through hard times, even as you go through times when you don't understand, when you're crying going, it doesn't seem fair. It's not. It doesn't seem right. It's not. But keep your eyes on me and it will be fine because there's a bigger picture than what you can see. And Elijah had begun to learn that. Can you see that? Okay. Now, this does you no good at all, honestly, If you don't stop and go, let's see my life. So the files are going. Family, finances, vacations, parties, job changes, new business ventures, relatives, Christmas. You know, just start naming the various things. And the Lord says, life goes on. Be outside of what you're seeing. It's bigger than what you see. So the plan that I will have for your sphere of influence may look different than what you think makes sense. So this reasoning thing that Pastor Jose was talking about is really, really significant, really important. Because the ultimate reasoning genius is our God. So if we submit everything to Him, understanding that we really need to get to know You, Holy Spirit, we'll be able to hear His sweet voice. And if we are pregnant with things of the Spirit, which He spoke on, we will do things we don't want to do. It is just the way it is. It's like, we will do them, but we will do them because we are hearing, it's okay, trust me. It's okay, trust me. I don't understand, I know. It doesn't feel good, I know. But I love You, I know. And then we can step into those kinds of things. All right, so, oh, this is good. Do not fear, do not fear. So verse 14 says, the Lord God of Israel says, in verse 14 rather, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until that day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth. Again, prophesying what's going to happen. So she went, she did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days because she obeyed the word. She didn't have full understanding, but she stepped in and obeyed without full understanding. There was a little bit of trust for believing that maybe the prophet knew something and it also might feed her. Double-edged. But maybe there was a tag of fear somewhere in there, as is possibly expressed even later. But she did obey, and God said, good, good start, little one. Don't be afraid. You can do it. Take the step. You can trust me. I'm on your side. Everything I ask of you, I am doing for your good, for your family's good. Everything. It won't make sense to you, but I will speak to you. I will show you. It will be good. It will be good. Even with your reasoning. In fact, I'm going to use this to kill your reasoning. I'm going to use this to teach you that your reasoning is not what needs to lead. It needs to be my Spirit. And if you call anything Holy Spirit because it seems right and it feels right, and it's reasoning, there'll be no faith. And fear will get, listen to this, fear has a legal right to be attached to it. Now, hear that, please. I mean, we can go through our world and our life, but when we don't cooperate with the kingdom of God and His ways, kingdom ways, we don't move with Him in the heavenlies that none of us designed, God did, the Lord wants us to stay so close to Him so that the enemy of our souls doesn't have any legal right saying, ha, there's fear over here. Come on, boys. So any decision that we make that has fear attached opens up the possibility of the enemy striking not only you, but those you're connected with. Maybe your parents or your children or your grandchildren or your family, you know, other friends or whatever. It's like, what? That's not fair. Actually, it's quite reasonable because there's nothing but faith in heaven. And there's no fear. It's like, well, what the heck? I need to declare a war on fear. Absolutely. So here's what happened to this lady. You know, we're really excited because she was able to receive to a degree. and there are a lot of other teachings that I'm not going down this road about the flour being, you know, and the oil, and make sure that you have a lot of oil in your life. Yes, Holy Spirit oil. I'm not going down that road right now. I'm going on another direction because I want you to see something about this lady. Shortly after that, her little son dies. She gets really sick. Now, she probably had a pretty rough way to go. Women did in those days without husbands. It's probably really tough. So, you know, who knows what was going on. But it did say that there were no feeble among them when they followed the Lord. There were no sick among them when the Israelites were received out of or taken out of Egypt. So as when the Exodus came, there was no feeble among them. Like, what is this? So the way it was set up in the Old Testament is that if you really obeyed God fully without fear, you should be okay. however that works. And so it's a little bit different the way we are now under the New Testament, but that's how it was. So here we have, it says in verse 17 that the son of the widow became sick, and it was so severe that no breath was left in him. Now here's her response, okay? She says to Elijah, "What do I have to do with you, O man of God? You've come to me to bring my iniquity to remembrance and to put my son to death?" What? Anger, blame, fear. It's like, oh no, oh no, oh no. So he says to her, "Give me your son." Then he took the son from her bosom. He goes up the stairs. He goes to the upper room. He takes the boy. He lays the boy down on the bed, and he gets down on the bed over the boy, lays on him three different times and just beseeches the Lord and says, "Please, Lord." And it says after that, God heard his prayer. God responded like he heard his voice because they had this connection, Holy Spirit connection. So you would think this would be, you know, a snap for this lady. My gosh, I mean, look what God did with the food. I mean, come on, she didn't die. She had food. She learned a few lessons about sowing and reaping. I mean, can't she latch on here? What's wrong with her? Ch-ch-ch. Whereas the Lord's saying, you know, it's another opportunity for you, Elijah. I'm going to grow you up again in this area. You have the opportunity again to demonstrate me, but it's going to be in such a way that this woman will really get it. What's it going to take? The Lord says, "Fear. Fear now. Fear not. For I am with thee. Fear now. I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen thee. I will uphold thee. I will do these things. Do not fear. This is just as much of a command in Scripture as Elijah saying, "Give me some water." Boom. So it's like fear. We want to hate the word fear, except for fear of God, and understand that God is going to take us and teach us, and he wants us to go on a quest. He doesn't want us to sit there, do-do-do-do. He says, go. He told Elijah, "I'm going to teach you about becoming more fearless because you are going to go to another dimension." In this case, he went to a couple different places. Okay? But he went. He moved. There was movement. When we receive, there's movement. We say yes and amen. So be it. And that's the beginning of the movement, and that we keep moving. We keep moving. So God is on our side. He's saying, "I know how this works, guys. It's my kingdom, and you're my kids. Listen up." So at the very end, when the child raised from the dead, it says in verse 24, read that with me if you would. And by the way, bring your Bibles next week if you're not doing that. Make that a discipline for yourself, please. Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is true. Now I know." Why now I know? You didn't know before? Sure, to a degree, but there was a doubt. And wherever there's doubt, there is fear. Wherever there is fear, there is an open door for arrows to be shot at you right in your back or your family or your friends, because it gives the enemy legal right. So if you feel numb or like, "I don't know, I just don't want to," or whatever, you may have some arrows sticking out of your back that need to be pulled out. Fear is your enemy, okay? And the Lord is teaching us, you know, how to recognize when there might be some fear here. So there was doubt. It's not enough just to say, "Yeah, I probably have some lies I'm believing." If you say that or can say that, oh my gosh, immediately move. If you have recognized it's probably something I struggle with and I have feelings and thoughts about my feelings say this, but it may not be true, but that place of supposed indecision, what that is, supposed indecision, is absolutely, "I'm not in faith." Period. From the kingdom perspective. And that means, oh, the enemy has a right to shoot me. Even harder. Because I already have a target because I'm a born-again believer. Yay, if I am. Which I believe we are. If I know everybody, most everybody. But the Lord says, be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. In Philippians. Be anxious for nothing. It's like, "Oh, but this happened." That's anxiety. Be anxious, be careful, be fearful for nothing in Philippians 4. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, as you rejoice, release it to me. And then the peace of God, oh my gosh, which releases faith in us, passes all understanding. And our heart and our mind is guarded. In other words, we can fight. We can stand up and fight. How many of you sometimes get weary when you're fighting? The Lord says, you know what? In me, there is no weariness in the Lord. There's no weariness and no fear. It's like, whoa, what the heck? What's the deal? There's a disconnect with Holy Spirit somewhere. Because we're human and it happens. Not because we're bad, we're not good enough, or I'm a schlep. Okay? So the Lord, it's my word. Mark it down, schlep. I'm sure it's there somewhere. I don't know where. What'd you say?
It's a word for scrap.
If you find it, let me know. I've been saying it for years. Okay. I was going to go through a whole other passage of scripture. I'm not going to. Okay. Read chapter 18, just for time's sake, because I think it's really good. Really, really good. And it piggybacks everything I'm saying here with another guy. His name is Obadiah. And this guy, let me just talk it to you really quickly. Okay, then you can read it, all right? This dude, Obadiah, he works with Ahab. We know Ahab is just, you know, really found wanting. And he works with Ahab, and he has a measure of fear, and he kind of runs the court. He knows what's going on in the palace and everything. And so Elijah has been the man on the hunt, hunted one. And so people have been looking for Elijah. Where is he? Because Ahab doesn't like the man of God. Can you see? So Obadiah had tracked with him somewhere. We don't know exactly how and where in detail, but we know that they've tracked together. And so Obadiah recognizes, runs into Elijah and says, Master! Boom, bows down. Oh, wow. And he says in scripture that he was a God-fearing man and that, you know, he was really trying to do the right thing like all of us. We're just trying to do it right, you know. But he says, wow, it's so good to see you. What's up? And he says, well, go tell Ahab that you've seen me. He goes, what? Go tell him I've seen you? Are you kidding? You're going to probably do some disappearing act. I'm going to go over there and say, I found him. The guy who you couldn't find, I found him. But he's not around. He'll kill me. What is that? What do I do to deserve that? What have I done? Do you not know my record? I have done. And he starts listing everything that he's done for the Lord. Do we do that sometimes? Don't you know I come to Frontline all the time? Don't you know I fast? Don't you know I pray? Don't you know I. God is just so not impressed with that. But that's what Obadiah did. And he said, please, 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 don't make me do this. Don't make me do this. And what does he do? The great prophet says, today I will see Ahab. I will speak to Ahab. So that was his way, his word from the Lord to Obadiah saying, do not be afraid, O little one. O God-fearing man. In other words, Obadiah had fear in him. How was it shown? It was tested. He was around somebody. Where he was trying to do the right thing for his master at that time, Ahab, you know, it wasn't seen, perhaps. But as soon as Elijah came on the scene, it was seen because like, oh no, I can't. He had been in a safety zone. He had been protected. The Lord is saying, I am taking you out. If you have adversity in your life, rejoice. Grow. How will I grow? How will you grow? If this is easy cake city, you know, completely, we will not have opportunities to grow. So if you have very difficult situations, the Bible says, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice and be thankful. We are not thankful for slime. We are thankful for the opportunity to grow, to bow down, to say, you're God and I'm not. I want to become fearless, a fearless, loving warrior of you. That's Obadiah in a nutshell, but please read it. Wow. These scriptures are really strong and really important. I these are my little cheat notes, you know, in the middle of the night. I just took paper, just kept grabbing it out of the printer, and then I put it together yesterday. Yeah. So I was highlighting some of the words, you know, and I thought, oh, wow, this is really great. But I was going to read them today, and I thought, you know what, I'm changing my mind. Thank you, Lord, because I really am encouraging you. I hope that today you will decide, I want to go through this again. And I want to listen for myself again. And you may have been touched and changed. Yahoo, I believe there's more. Because I was touched and changed. And I believe there's more. So let's do this together, because I believe that these are destiny words that speak about your personal destiny, your corporate destiny, and our destiny is a relationship with Jesus. When someone from outside comes in and can recognize that revival is here, that the fire of God is here, that this place, this physical place, is way too small, but that we as a ministry are not small, and that God has his hand on this place in a way, you really need to listen to it, because it will change how you think. And the Lord is saying, I want you to change the way that you look at everything. Your world, yourself. I want you to see yourself as the head and not the tail. I want you to see yourself differently. And it will change. Change each one of us. Last Sunday, not quite as many notes, but I did cap a few of these things that he did say last week. And just to reiterate, he spoke about losing ourselves completely. Completely. If we are willing to lose ourselves so that we can be found by him in those areas, what we're doing really is losing places of fear. And what we think is not fear may be. And we want to be able to come out of that completely. And it's not hard, he said. I believe that. He said, now is the time that we lose what we have and we dance his dance, and that we become crazy for him. We get crazy in God. And we thank God for everything that we have, and we lose everything, and we lose our reason, and we will learn through humility that we need to not be us. We need to not be us. How many of us are willing to really, really allow him to change us? Which includes releasing us from condemnation. If we suffer with, oh, I feel like I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not going to advance. I'm never going to do this, that, and the other. You know, that's fear. If we feel as though, you know, I've heard this before, I really can't see anything that's really relating to me personally, that's fear. There are things in this for all of us who are processing through the Lord. He's saying, I want you to be, you know, sparky, spunky, wild. When you come in here, you're not sitting your booty down going, with or without kids. It's not the issue. He's not looking at our age. He's saying, who is going to be resonating with me? Who's shaking with my fire? Who is not waiting till the fifth song for the fire? Who is going to become my fire brand? My fire brand who walks with me, who runs with me. I'm going to show a clip here from Secretariat. Secretariat, how many of you have ever seen it before? Some of you? Okay. I believe that there are many, many secretariats in this church. Secretariat is a horse. So see yourself as a horse. And this is back in the 70s when Secretariat, which is a, you know, an amazing, amazing animal, was participating in many different races and came to acquire what's called the Triple Crown. Yeah, the horse. And Secretariat had, I mean, sorry if you didn't see the movie, but you're going to get some of this because it's a good word. You can still do it. Only part of it. I won't tell you the end because I won't go that far. But Secretariat at one point in the movie actually lost a race, and everybody was upset. And you know what? The owner was blaming people. She got kind of nasty. I mean, she was not walking in peace at all. So there are a lot of good lessons, but there are some that you might notice that you could see in your own self too. And so she was, you know, yelling at people, you know, did you do it? It's your fault, the jockey. It's your fault, the trainer. Yeah, yeah, it's your fault. What happened? It turned out that the horse had an abscess in the tooth. It's like, whoa. So the horse wasn't able to just fly out of the gate and then pass them all and win. Had the capability of it because of the nature of this horse, but wasn't able to do it. Are you catching me? Capability, but not able to do it. And then there was the Kentucky Derby. And then there was Preakness, and then there was Belmont. These three different, ooh, I watched it. These three different races. Okay? And triple crown means that you win all three. And what we're going to do, the first two, I will tell you this, the first two were more short, I don't even know the length of time, but they were shorter races. And many people who were kind of hoping that this horse would win thought, it's a good horse, it can do this. It can do this for these two. But forget it when it comes to Belmont. This is a long distance haul. And so the owner was faced with the possibility of, okay, should I let the horse just rest? Or should I drive this horse? Should I coach this horse? Should I make this horse go? Elijah, go! What should I do? And against all other bets or odds, if you want, the owner said, we're driving it. To the point where some horses of that nature, of that type, would actually have their heart burst because they were driven, they were pushed so hard, and they die. Now, whether she heard from Lord or not, I don't know. This is the movie. But they didn't tell me that. But here's what happened, and we're going to watch it. And I want you to see yourself. And basically, this last race was between Champ. Doo-doo, Champ was not. Champ, who was the one who really, really wanted to come in and win this race because it had lost the other two. And the owner of Champ was really nasty and, secretary's going to die. Oh, I don't think so. So it was kind of a race between the two. So it's something that I think will spur you on, spark you on here. And because he's sparky. Yeah. Yeah. Is Andy in here? Oh, he is Sparky. I know, but is Andy in here? Behind Sparky? Okay, there you are. Yeah. What I'd like after this is the song Holy is Our King, Rick Pino, Holy is Our King, to play immediately after this. So I'm setting you up, okay? But I really want you to grab this and say, is this who I am? Is this who I want to be? Because God sees me this way. This is who he sees me to be, but I'm not seeing myself maybe, or I want to see myself more, because I really believe that God wants to transform today, not tomorrow after you think about it, have a cup of coffee. You can do that too. But I believe that the atmosphere here is pregnant for change. And so I'm asking you to open your heart and worship the Lord through this clip and also through this song and do business with God. Seriously. Don't let another moment go by. And then go check out the website as well. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known that you are God in Israel and that I'm your servant and I've done all these things at your word. The hand of the Lord was on Elijah. The sky grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy shower, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. When the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, he girded up his loins and he outran Ahab to Jezreel. So he got out in front of the chariot, in front of Ahab, and he ran. I just declare an Elijah anointing here to be released on this house. And I declare that your secretariats, in the sense that you're world changers, and that you have what it takes. Everything was given to you and I at the cross. Everything. Do not stay stuck in, I need to be healed. I need to be this, I need to be that. Go to the cross right now and rise up and toss off anything that would hinder you in Jesus' name, and you will change today in a big way. Declare a war on fear right now. Your arch enemy. Declare that you're a secretariat. Let's turn it up, Spencer. If you need to repent, you need a change of mind, just say, God, forgive me. I want to know you, Holy Spirit, in these ways. And I toss everything off and I bust out of the gate and I'm going the long haul with you. Rise up from your chains right now.
Wow.
Nothing can hold you down unless you let it. Lord, I just corporately rebuke fear in the name of Jesus.
Oh. Wow.
Just worship the Lord. Surrender completely in the areas that you've not been able to, or you don't even know it might be there. Surrender anyway.
Wow. Wow.
Now is the time to receive. Transformation right now, oh God.
Wow.
Give up anything that's been a stumbling block. Give it up right now. Put it down. Lord, I'm willing to go a different direction. I'm willing to change. I release my children into your hands. I release my family into your hands.
Wow.
Shut up.
Wow.
I release my income, my job, my security, and my future into your hands fully, and I don't take it back.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Can we sing with this now? All doubt, unbelief, hesitation, negativity.
Wow.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Release everything. Ora baba. Let's worship the Lord. Shakara basiki. Ora baba baba sada tata. Insecurity, all sexual problems, where your eyes have gone to the internet, kill it now, never again. Shora baba baba, oh kora baba shikiri, oh kora baba baba shara nagiti, oh kora baba baba shara, shira baba baba sorodo, just receive. Wow. Just receive new measure of faith now. Just receive it. Just reach your hands up to heaven right now. Just receive a new increase right now. New increase. Bigger increase right now. New anointing. New anointing. New anointing. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You can play that. You can play that. Just keep it going. Hear the sound inside right now. Oh, Holy Spirit, we want to know you right now. Right now in those deep places, we surrender ourselves to you. We commit to you right now. The sound of heaven is being released right now. Right now, over each part of our lives and our hearts. So, we connect with you. Remove all the disconnect right now. Oh, you're on our side. You've made us secretariats. Oh. Come on down. Son. Just sing along. You can hear the sound. Stand up and take your rightful place for who you are in Jesus. No hesitation. Stand up and receive. Yes, Lord, I say yes all the way. All the way to the very end. Because it's all good. Because you're good. Speak it over yourself. Speak it to Him. Wow. No guilt, condemnation. Speak it out and sing it out. You want the devil to be defeated? Open your mouth. You have power and authority. You can hear the sound. Don't give them any access. Speak out into the heavenlies. Yes, Lord. I listen to the sound. Yes. Listen to the sound. Sing it out. Listen to the sound. Just say yes, Lord. Count me in, Lord. 100%, Lord. No half effort. 100%. You got me. I can hear the sound of the river coming down. I can hear the sound of the river coming down. I hear the sound of the river coming down. I can hear the sound of the river coming down. I can hear the sound. River coming. He's coming down. Coming down. I can hear the sound of the river coming down. You're one of a kind. You're God's masterpiece. You're His created love. And He's proud of you and pleased with you. Listen to no other voice. Listen to the voice of heaven. Listen to the voice of heaven that says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. That means perfectly made. Receive it. Walk in it. Be encouraged and strengthened today. Know that the changes have taken place. Now walk them out. Walk them out and be strengthened today. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Just tell the Lord, I choose to see myself as you see me. Sure. I can hear the sound, I can hear the sound. I can hear the sound, I can hear the sound. Coming down. I can hear the sound of the river coming down. I can hear the sound of the river coming, coming down. Whoa. Thank you. Listen to the sound. Listen to the sound. Just go with the Lord today. Be encouraged and strengthened. Wow. Tell two people next to you or near you, I am a secretariat. Tell them with confidence, with confidence. Out of your mouth. Don't hesitate. No, don't backpedal. Turn and say, open your mouth. I'm a secretariat. Shokarababa. Whoa. Say it to find someone. There's power in the spoken word. Your first assignment is trusting your pastor. So I'm asking you to actually open your mouth and go to somebody and do it. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you all. Have a great day. If you're able to listen to these things from Pastor Jose before Tuesday, we're going to rock out this place on Tuesday night. It'll help. So come in expecting, my friends. God bless you. Have a great day today. God bless you. Yeah.